We are holding on Yud Ches Amud Beis 11 lines from the bottom. Reb Shimon ben Wardish. We're continuing on the topic of Hagroma, one of the five basic things that Paschal's Shita, so therefore, so that requires us to define exactly what part of the neck you can shech. And here, by the way, we're not really focusing, of course, there are two simonim, two pipes in the neck that have to be cut for it to be proper Shita. Here, we're not focusing really on the definitions of it as far as the esophagus that we're going to deal with later on. Here we're focusing more on the windpipe. So we said yesterday, and we had the relevant pictures for it, that you have part of the windpipe is you have the thyroid cartilage, which resembles a helmet, and so the Gemara calls it koiva, which literally means a helmet. Rashi, in fact, when he describes it, he calls it by that exact word, helm. There's a slanted part of it, which is called shipui koiva. Rashi, by the way, makes a point that you shouldn't think in this connection that the koiva actually refers to the epiglottis, which covers the windpipe when you're eating and drinking to prevent food going down. That does slightly resemble a hat or a helmet as well, but Rashi stresses that's not what we mean over here when we're speaking of shipui koiva. We're talking about the larger piece, which in English is called the thyroid cartilage. Then below that, we said you have the tabas hagdola, you have a large ring of cartilage that completely surrounds the windpipe. And then below that, you have the windpipe, which is made of alternating rings of cartilage, each of which is not complete. It's cartilage around most of it, shaped like a U, and then in the back, it's just held together with muscle, and in between them, you have just muscle. So we were talking until the various opinions about what part of the windpipe is it kosher to shech. By the way, I mean, you know, even though we're talking about all this, how far up can you go towards the head and will still be kosher to shechter? In practice, it says in Shulchan Aruch, what you should try to do as much as possible is shech in the middle of the neck, and then that way you avoid all these potential problems of you might be too high or too low. There is, by the way, a popular notion they say about that the reason that even though giraffes are a kosher animal, they chew their cud and have split hooves, there's a popular notion that people say that we don't know where in the neck to shech them. That's nonsense. In fact, based on the definitions we're saying over here in the Gemara, Fakir, you would have a very large area of the neck where you could shech it. The reason is people don't eat giraffes, first of all, the meat is kind of tough, and second of all, because most of them are endangered. And they're not exactly easy to get a hold of. So continuing on this topic of Hagroma and this topic of what part of the windpipe are you allowed to shecht in. Now, one more thing that we're going to have that's going to come in to the picture over here is you have one of the pictures that I sent yesterday from the Gemara over here shows a structure inside of the windpipe, specifically inside the shipui koiva, the thyroid cartilage. You have a structure called chit, which is called, literally chiti means grains of wheat, because that's what they resemble in shape. Those are the vocal cords. So now we're going to talk about those as well, as far as the shita in that area of the vocal cords. So first of all, the Gemara says, Reb Shimon ben Lakish actually the chuda de koiva. Reb Shimon ben Lakish held that it's kosher if the shechita is done all the way at the tip of the koiva, the thyroid cartilage. So even all the way up there, which is far beyond, that's much higher even than tabas hagdola, at the very tip almost of the koiva, of the thyroid cartilage. Then Reb Lakish held that it's still a kosher the shechita. Kori alei Reb Yechanan gisa gisa. So Reb Yechanan said on that, he said that's not right. Gisa gisa means, Rashi says, hagas hagas, the oversize. In other words, you're going too far, you're going overly far in where in the windpipe you're able to shech. You can do it for shipu toiva, which means, in other words, until the place where it starts forming a diagonal, but to go all the way to the top. back to the Gishon and says that can't possibly be a kosher shchita. Even we said yesterday, we learned yesterday at the top of this Amud, that Rav Chanina ben Antignus says that you're allowed to shecht in the Shibui Poiva. So Rav Yechanan says, fine, that's true, but only in the shifui, only in the slanted part of it, not where you're saying the shlokis all the way up to near the top. So the Gemara continues. Amar Papi Mishmei Derava Poga Bechit. Now, if he was Poga, and we're going to see in a second in the Gemara what the word Poga means, if he was Poga in the Chiti Trefa, then the Shchita will be Tref. The chiti, again, are the vocal cords. Chiti literally means grains of wheat, because that's what they resemble in shape. So the papi is telling us that if it's boga in those chiti, then it would be a possible shritta, because then that would be an example of hagroma. So we have to figure out what he means by the word boga. The point is that these chiti are actually inside the poiva, they're inside the helmet, the thyroid cartilage. And the point is that part of it considered a valid place of shritta or not? So the Chum had the question: what is the Papa, what does Papi say when he says in the name of Rava? When he uses the word poga, what does that mean? Poga v'noga behen? Does it mean poga in the sense that he touched them, that he actually cut them? And then, in other words, we would say, and it would mean that if he cut through the vocal cords, then it would be that's too high up, and it's a possible shchita. Gichtiv, and we find the word poga meaning not just touching, but actually damaging. Gichtiv vayifka boi vayomus. We find in Malachim, we find several examples where it says on someone vayifka boi, he encountered him and killed him. So the word poga in such context means to attack him and kill him. So poga over here, poga b'chiti, would mean that he actually attacks the chiti and actually cut through them. So we're saying only then it would be possible. Are doing a poga v'loy noga? Or does he mean even does it mean poga means not actually touching them, but being very, very close to them, and that would already be enough to make it possible? So it would mean, in other words, we're talking now, what does this mean? In which direction are we talking about? So Rashi explains, or Tosfos at least explains Rashi, to be saying that we're talking about right below them. In other words, is Rav Papi saying only if you cut through the chiti is it a problem, but if you cut directly below them, then it's fine? Or even directly below them would be a problem, and even that would also be too high up, too far up into the coat. And we know that the word poga can also mean not to actually touch, but rather to encounter. Could it be Yisro by Malachi Elikim? And we find that Yaakov was encountered by Malachim. Now, they didn't touch him, or at least didn't say they did. So there we see that the word poga just means to encounter, to come to approach, but not to actually reach them. So again, Tosfos explains that Rashi is saying that it means that he shechted, that it points to the second possibility. It means he shechted right below the chiti and not actually cut through them. Tosfos has a bunch of questions on that and various problems with that. And also there are further on in the Gemara, there are relevant Jusois about it. Tosfos ends up explaining that no, the possibility of poga v'noga would mean that he actually cut through them, like Rashi says. The poga v'loy noga, the second possibility, would be that he shechted above them. Would we say that only if he shechted above them is it possible, but if he shechted within them, it would be kosher? So the Gemara says, Itmar, so they said on it, Amar Papa Mishmeid Rava, so Rav Papa, which is not the same as Rav Papi, they were both Talmudim of Rava, but Rav Papa clarifies in the name of Rava, Shir B'chiti Ksheira, if he left over some of the chiti, then it would be kosher, meaning in other words, if he cut through them, then it would be kosher. So now, according to Rashi, that would mean, in other words, if he cut through them, it's kosher, and all the more so, of course, if he shechted below them, closer to the body. According to Tosfos, it's the other way around. If he cut through them, it's fine, but if he cuts above them, then it would be kosher. And similarly, the Gemara says, Amar Vameim Bamari Yunuka, have a Ke'im Nekamedi Rav Chiya Breder of Ivya. So, I was standing in front of Rav Chiya Breder of Ivya as a Talmud, but Amar Li, and he told me exactly that, Shir B'chiti Kshera, that if you left over some of the chiti and cut through them, and so you end up, after you look at the shritta, you find that some of the chiti are below and some are above, and they were divided in two, then it would be kachur. And similarly, Omer Ravina Ravashi, and then similarly, Ravina says to Ravashi, Omer Rav Shomon Suvra, Rav Shomon, that was his name, Suvra, from a place called Suvra, told me, Ikra Marzutra Lasrin, one time Marzutra visited our town of Sura, Vodarash, and he said exactly that. Shir b'chiti k'shera, that if he left over some of the chiti and he cut through them, then it would still be kosher, even though that's fairly high up. It's not so high up that it would be mugremis, and therefore it's still kosher. Mar Bravashi says not so simple. Poga b'chiti k'shera, if he was poga in the chiti, then it would be kosher, meaning according to the other possibility of poga, that we said that he came close to them, he approached them, but didn't actually cut them. Shir b'chiti trefa, but says Mar Bravashi, if he actually left some of them over, that he actually cut through them, then it would actually be trefa. So in other words, it comes out, according to that Ma'abar Rav Ashi is disagreeing with all of the other Amoraim that we just said, and he would hold rather that, no, poga does not mean cutting through them. That's the first possibility, rather it means, when would we say that it's poga, when he says poga b'chiti treka, would mean when he approaches them and cuts above them, then it would be treif. And if shir b'chiti, then, in other words, he would say that poga would mean poga b'noga. Like we said, it means that he actually cut through them. And then Ma'abar Rav Ashi would be saying that would be treif. Again, it points to Tosfos, and Tosfos points out a different girsa over here, the other way around. That points to Tosfos' girsa. Ma'abar Rav Ashi says poga would be treifa, but shear would be kosher. So according to Tosfos, it's the other way around. Ma'abar Rav Ashi is saying if you actually cut through them, it would be possible, but if you it would be a possible shritta, but if you encountered and came close to them, it would be kosher. In other words, according to that girsa, if he actually cut through them, then it would be fine, but only that, unlike Rashi's girsa, but if he cut above them, only then would it be possible. So in that case, then Ma'abar Rav Ashi is not necessarily, according to that, then it comes out that Ma'abar Rav Ashi is saying basically the same as all the other Amoraim. And the Gemara continues. The Hilchasa, the actual halacha is now, usually when the Gemara says the Hilchasa, it means the Masadre HaGemara, the final compilers of the Gemara, Ravina and Ravashi, or sometimes the Rabban and Sibaroi, are putting in a statement over here. You want to know what the bottom line, practical halacha is after this whole discussion, then this is what's going to be. The Rashash over here actually explains, based on something further down on the Amud, that no, this is actually Ma'abar Rav Ashi is continuing his statement. He first said that Shir b'chiti treifa, or Poga b'chiti treifa, Shir b'chiti treifa, according to the Girsa we have in front of us, which is Rashi's Girsa, according to Tosfos, the Girsa would be the other way around. And then Ma'abar Rav Ashi is continuing to tell you the Hilchsa, the bottom line halacha is Mishipur Kovel l'matak treifa, that as long as you do it below the slanted part of the helmet, before it starts slanting, then it would be kosher. Behind the Shire Bechiti, that would be the equivalent of Shire Bechiti. In other words, so Rashi explained, that would be, according to the opinion, that Shire Bechiti would be kosher, then such a Shritta would be kosher, because cutting below the Shikri Kova is exactly the same as Shire Bechiti. Again, according to Rashi's use, the Ma'abar Rav Ashi himself might not agree with that, because he himself holds that Shire Bechiti Tereifa. The Gemara continues, Rav Nachman, Achshom is Shikri Koiva Olamata. Rav Nachman also said that it's kosher as long as it's below the Shikri Koiva, below the slanted part of the thyroid cartilage. Omelet of Honan Bakhtina, Rav Nachman, Kiman, but Rav Honan Bakhtina asks him, Kiman, which Tana are you going like? Fine, you said that there are some Amiroyim who hold like that, but don't you need a Tana on your side to say that? It doesn't seem to be like the Rabbanan or Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda. Both of them talk about shechting in the upper tabas, the tabas agdola. The Chachamim said you have to cut through the entire thing, and it can't be that you go any place beyond it. Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda had said you could shecht in the tabas agdola, but the Shikri Koiva is above that. Neither Rabbi Yosi Ben Yehuda nor the Chachamim allows such a thing. So where are you getting from, Rabbi Nachman, that such a thing should be kosher? Amalei, so Rav Nachman answers him, Ano lechilik yedayna velechbilik yedayna. I don't know from any chilik or bilik. Now, what does that mean? The word chilik means to divide, like the word chilik. The word bilik, Rashi first explains from his Rebbein that the word bilik means like to damage or destroy. There's to tear it up into pieces. There's a Loshon HaPosuk mevuloka, which is the same shortish as bilik, which means like all confused and destroyed. So therefore, sort of Nachman would be saying then that I don't know of any, I haven't heard from my rebbein anything like either of those opinions, that it has to dafka be within the Tabas HaGdola, and you're talking about where he divided or broke through the simonim. But rather, as he's going to go on to say, there's another point that I've learned from my rebbein, which says that it's kosher as long as it's below the shibui koga. Now Rashi then brings another explanation, that which is that we find this expression chilik and bilik used in another place as well. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, as though there's a whole sugya about Yemos HaMashiach, and the Gemara says over there that the same Reb Nachman says, "Asidim Yisrael da achli shnei Mashiach." You know what? The Jewish people are going to, in the end, they're going to enjoy the days of Mashiach. And the Gemara says, "Well, of course." As opposed to what? Who else is going to enjoy Chilik and Bilik? Now, Chilik and Bilik wouldn't be relevant to talk about cutting through or destroying the simanim. Therefore, Rashi says. Therefore, Rashi says that the word chilik and bilik apparently is lishna ba'alma. So it's a turn of phrase, meaning like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like, in other words, chilik and bilik would just mean like, almost like in English, you'd say like Tom, Dick, and Harry, meaning I don't know of any random people that you're mentioning, in this case, Tanurim. But to say that davka should have to be within Tabas HaGdola. In fact, I'm not shmaita yadina. What I know is what the Amoraim taught about this. The Amr of Chiyav Abba, Amr of Yechonam, the Amr of Abba Bar Zabra, Amr of Chanina, the Amr of Yaakov Bar Idi, Amr of Shulam Levi. So you have three different Amoraim, each of which reports in the name of their Rebbe, Mishikul Koybo, the Mata Ksheira, that it is kosher as long as it's below the slanted part of the helmet, the slanted part of the thyroid cartilage. So you're saying that that doesn't seem to fit with the opinion of the Chachamim or of Yosef of Yehuda. But the fact, Rabbi Nachman says, the fact that you have so many Amoraim saying, otherwise, shows that they also learned those Tanoim differently. Maybe there's another Tana that hasn't been recorded until now. Maybe they understood the Chachamim or Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hoda differently. Actually, we had before Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. So when they asked him, it's not like the Chachamim, it's not like Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Hoda. I mean, he could have told them, well, it's according to Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. Maybe he wasn't familiar with that part of the Braisa. But whatever the case, he's saying the fact that you have so many Amoraim saying that it's kosher as long as it's below Shibui Koga demonstrates that there must be some Tana that holds that way. And if you don't know that, that's not our problem. So the Gemara continues. V'omer Rabbi Yisrael ben Levi. So Rabbi Yisrael ben Levi explains in this connection. Mugremes Rabbanan Ksheira L'Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. There would be a case that the Chachamim in the Braisa that we quoted before on Yud Tesamadeis, they would hold that a certain case is Mugremes, when you didn't shecht all the way through the Tabas HaGdolah, you shechted part way through it, and then you tilted the knife and shechted the rest beyond that. So the Chachamim would consider that Mugremes. Ksheira, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, but that kind would be kosher according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, because as long as you shechted through most of the simon within Tabas HaGdolah, then we're fine. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, Ksheira, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus. And what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda in turn considers mugremes, namely where you shechted mostly or completely above the Tabas HaGdolah, Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus would hold that it's kosher because he says you could do it even within the koyfa. So all those Amoraim are all following Rav Chanina ben Antignus. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Well, obviously, we learned the Braisa on Yud Chesam and Beis that said exactly that. And the answer is, Mao de Tema, without Rabbi Shulman Levi telling us, you might have misunderstood, you might have thought, Rav Chanina ben Antignus did Adrabbanan Kori. After all, Rav Chanina ben Antignus, in that Braisa on Yud Chesam and Beis, did not actually mention the words Shikui Toiva. All it said in the Braisa was Heyed Rabbi Yochad Rabbi Chanina ben Antignus Amu Gremes Sheik Sheira. He gave an edus about that there's a certain kind of case which the other Chachamim consider Mugremes, and he would hold his kosher. He never spelled out what that is exactly. So now, is he referring to what the Chachamim consider Mugremes, or is he referring to what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would consider Mugremes? So you would have thought that maybe he's referring to what the Chachamim say. The Chachamim would say you have to shech through the entire Tabas HaGdolah. So Rav Chanina ben Antignus would say no. There can be a case where you shech not through the entire Tabas HaGdolah, and it would still be kosher. Meaning that he'd basically be saying the same thing as Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. And in that case, there'd be no opinion that says you can do it in the Koyim. Hamash Malan, therefore, Rabbi Shulman Levi wants you to know that in fact he is allowing, he's going beyond Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda and saying you could even shech in the Koyim. And then all those Amoraim in turn followed that understanding, and therefore they all took Rav Chanina ben Antignus to be saying that he can shecht within the koiva. And now we said before that Rav Nachman says the same thing. So the Gemara says, "Ve'ema hochi nami." Okay, but maybe indeed, how do you know How do you know that a Chachamim and Antigonus is Takan not referring to the Chachamim and saying what you consider Mugremus, I'm telling you is kosher, but that still wouldn't mean that he's going beyond Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. How do you know not? And the answer is it can't be, because in, so how does Rabbi Yeshua maybe know what Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus means? And the answer is in Cain, hey, because if that was what Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus meant, then he would have just said, then the Braisa would have introduced what he says, hey, he testified about it. Meaning, in other words, that we would say there's the it, which the Chachamim are saying is possible, and then Rabbi Chanan ben Antigonus gave Eidos about it, that it is actually kosher. But when he says, hey, da mugremes, she kshera, it means even what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda considers mugremes, then Rabbi Chanina considers kosher. So not only what the Chachamim consider mugremes, but even what Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda considers mugremes, then Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus would consider fine. So therefore, so by analyzing that wording, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi concluded that Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus means to make it mutter, even if you shecht within the koiva, and then the other various amiroim after him follow suit. And the Gemara says, the Hilchasakir of Chanan ibn Antigonus. In fact, the halacha is, in Israq of Chanan ibn Antigonus, that it's kosher, as long as you shech below the Shikri Koiva, Dekoy, Rab Nachman Kapasay, because Rab Nachman holds like him, like we said before. So now, again, when it's said at the top of the Amr, Hilchasam Shikri Koiva, Lamata Kshera, that wasn't necessarily the fact may have Gemara passing in the halacha, that was Rab Marbar of Ashi saying as a continuation of his statement, as the Rashash says. But now we have the Chachmei HaGemara, now we have the Masadri HaGemara clearly saying, unequivocally, the halacha is like that because Rab Nachman says so. Now, sure, I wonder why we need to say that. I mean, Rav Chanan ben Antigonus said as an Eidos, and as Rashi had said, as we learned yesterday, anytime there's an Eidos, automatically it means the halacha is like that. But okay, so we have another reason, because we see that Rav Nachman, who was one of the middle Amiroyim, held one of the later generations of Amiroyim, held like that. Let's get back now to the machloikas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, where they're both saying you can't shecht within the Shipui Koiva, but you can only shecht, you can shecht in the Tabas HaGdola. And we had again the Chachamim saying you have to shecht through the entire Tabas HaGdola, otherwise it's no good. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is saying that you can shecht through most of it, and it's still kosher. So now let's analyze some details in there. Omer of Hunav, Omer of Asi, machloikas. When would this machloikas apply? The Sheshachat Shnei Shlish Vehigrim Shlish. When he shechted through first in the proper place, two-thirds of the shechita in the proper place, and then the remaining third, he did too far up towards the head. So now, did Abad and Sabri call the shechita? But in the chum are going to hold you require the entire shechita. So in other words, it's true that you only need to, it's true that you need that when it comes to shechita, we say rubei kekula, as we usually say in halacha, but over here you need to shech through the entire tabas agdola in order for it to be a kosher shechita. So Rashi explains they would hold the Rashi explains further down on the Amud that the Chachamim would hold, at this point we're saying, they would hold you actually the shech through the entire windpipe. The Ritva says that no, even the Chachamim, according to this, are not going to hold, you have to shecht through the entire windpipe, but they're saying at least if you're going to, then it has to be in the right area. You could, conceivably, according to them, the fact is, as long as you shecht the roiv of the simon, as we're going to discuss in detail in the next parak, then it is kosher, so they're going to say, if you stop after most of the simon, fine, but if you're going to cut through the rest of the simon, you still need to do it in the proper place. Okay, so that would be them. So therefore, said Rabban and Sabri, pull a shchita, but in the tabas gola, you need to do the entire shchita and no higher than the tabas gola. But Rabbi Yosef, you heard a saba rubik kula. Whereas Rabbi Yosef, you heard says once you shech to do most of it, then it's considered like all of it. And at that point, any cutting that you do after that is just cutting dead meat, and it doesn't matter whether it's outside the right place or not. Continues Rav Huna, Aval Higrim Shlish, but if he were to first do Hagrama of the first third, he starts by cutting too high up. And again, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, this would be if he shechts anywhere above the Tabas HaGdola, anywhere in the Koiva, in the thyroid cartilage, then, so if he starts there and does one third of it over there, the Shachat Shnei Shlish, and then he did two thirds in the proper area, in the Tabas HaGdola, Divrei HaKuk Sula, everybody would agree that that Shchita is possible, says Rav Huna. Because when the animal's chayus, when the animal's life force leaves it, which is when the shchita is completed properly, you have to have that. Most of that was accomplished through a kosher shchita, the leka, and you don't have that. Because what happens? In order for it to be a kosher shchita, you only need just over half of the two, of each of the two simonim to be cut. So in effect, in other words, we can say once you cut through 50% plus a tiny bit of the two pipes, then at that point the animal's chayus leaves it. At this point, the animal is dead. Now, so what happens, so Rav Huna is pointing out, if you were to do the first third of any fraction, we don't have to mean the third, if you were to do any fraction of it as hagroma, then it comes out, you don't have that 50% plus in a kosher place. It comes out that when you reach the 50% plus mark, which is the point when the animal's chayus leaves it, not all of that 50% plus has been done with kashrus, because some of it was done with hagroma. Therefore, that would be no good, even if one Rabbi Yosi would be put down. Omalei Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda says, Adrabba, but on the other hand, you could argue the other way around. Lema mar ipcha. Rebbe, you should argue the other way around. You have a better reason to say that it is kosher if he did the beginning with Hagrama rather than the end. You could argue as follows. You could say as follows. Machloikus the shehigrim shlish, the shachat shnei shlish. Maybe the machloikus of the Chamna and Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda is only when he first shechted one third with hagrama, too high up, and then shnei shlish, and then two thirds in the proper place. So what's the difference? Rabbi Yosi of Yehuda Sava, midi dehava achatzi konet pogrom. You could compare that to a case where up to half of the windpipe is damaged, and nevertheless the animal is still kosher. We're going to learn in the next parak, and we're also going to learn in the third parak when we deal with the halachas of treifas. A puncture in the windpipe does not necessarily make an animal treif. Only if that puncture is more than a certain size or a certain percentage of the size of the windpipe. A small hole in it or a small hole or cut in it is not going to pass all the animal. But pashtus, I guess the point is, because then enough air will be able to get in through, you know, there will be some air will leak out through that hole, but not enough to prevent the animal from surviving. Anyway, now you have in the next parak, we're going to talk about a case. Suppose that in the area where you're going to shift, there was already a hole or damage or whatever in the corner, in the windpipe, and then you continued shechting. So we're saying that damaged area, that hole, can cover up to half the circumference of the windpipe, and the animal is still kosher. So now, imagine that you find an animal like that. Let's say, for example, that exactly 49% of the circumference of the windpipe has already been broken or cut or holed through somehow. Now you take the shita knife and you continue cutting in that exact area, and you reach to just over the 50% plus, then you have a kosher shchita. You don't have this business about the chayus of the animal has gone out with a kosher shchita of 50% plus one. It doesn't matter. Well then, in that case, about Rav Chisda argues, based on that logic, we should say the same thing. If you started with hagroma, so what? It's no worse than part of the windpipe being damaged, and so you can finish the shchita in a kosher way. So Rav Yosi Ben Yehuda will say, as long as that original damage to the windpipe was less than 50%, then you can complete the shchita in a kosher, and in this case, the damage is because of hagroma, then fine, you can finish the shchita in the proper place, and you're good. So he would hold that. Rabbanon, whereas Acham would say the difference is Hosam Mokum Shchita. The difference is that over there the damage is at least in the part of the windpipe which is kosher for Shchita. So therefore you can say, fine, not all of it was done for Shchita. So therefore we can consider that now you're doing a proper Shchita in that area. The fact is, over here, we're talking about Hagroma. We're talking about an area which is not kosher for Shchita in the first place, and therefore the Chum say you can't say that it should be kosher if there was a hole in that area. One of the Mefarshim, the Tiferes Yaakov, explains the difference is that if you have a pogrom, if you have that damage, then fine, there was no shchita at all, but now you're doing a shchita, and now you can consider as though there was no damage there in the first place, and the whole cut has been accomplished by shchita. Here with Hagroma, there was a shchita, but it's a shchita that's possible. So you're not able to say that what happens afterwards, according to the Chachamim, should make it kosher. So therefore, sort of history says, by that logic, we should say that Adrabba, if you started with Hagrama, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will allow it, and the Chachamim will not. Aval Shachat Shnei Shlish V'Higrim Shlish, but if he started two-thirds in the proper area, and then did Hagrama in the remaining third, Dibra Hakol Shittas, Dibra Hakol Cheira. You should argue according to everybody, it should be kosher. Dotsman, Rubber Shalachan Kamaru. After all, we learn in a Mishnah that cutting through Roiv of any one of the Simonim, we're going to learn in the Mishnah in the next paragraph, cutting through the Roiv of any one of the Simonim is considered by cutting the whole thing. So by that logic, so Yudav, who now is saying that if he started the Shechita properly and then did Hagrama afterwards, that at the end of it, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will allow it, the Chum will not, but if it started with Hagrama, they're both going to agree it's possible, says Rav Huna. So Rav Chista, Adrabba, the logic should dictate the other way around, that if he started it, the possible, and then if started it possible, and continued kosher, as long as he did the majority of it kosher, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda will allow it, the Chum won't, but if he started kosher and then continued possible, as long as he did most of it kosher, everybody should hold that it's kosher. Why don't you learn that way? When would the Chacham say that it's possible? Would be when he started with Hagrama and then did the rest correctly. Omele Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says to Rav Chista, "Man name alone da hu rubber de hosam lav Rav Yosef of Yehuda Katani law." You know what? You're assuming that Mishnah later on rubber shalachar kamaru, that cutting through the majority of a simon is equivalent to cutting through the whole thing. You're assuming that's according to everybody. Who says that that's not according to Rav Yosef of Yehuda specifically? Dumer Rav Yosef of Yehuda Katani law. Maybe that Mishnah is only according to Rav Yosef of Yehuda. Maybe the Chachamim indeed would not hold rubber shalachar kamaru, and therefore, so then your argument falls away. But Amalei Abaye, but Abaye says to Rabbi Yosef, also called Rubi the Alman, Rabbi Yosef with Yehuda Katani. So what are you thinking then? That every time you say the concept of Rubi Shalach of Rubi Kekuloi, you're going to tell me every single time that's according to Rabbi Yosef with Yehuda? At camp, there's many places in Shas where we have this concept of Rubi Kekuloi, and we're certainly not going to say that every one of them is only according to Rabbi Yosef with Yehuda. Rabbi Yosef says, I'm not talking about everywhere else in Shas. I'm no Rubber de Shita coming. I'm talking about specifically when we talk about this matter of that most of a simon should be considered, like the entire simon, the Shminer, the Hudipli, given that we find in our Sugya that the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda and the Chacham are arguing about when you cut through most of the Tabas Agdola as opposed to all of it. So therefore, maybe I'm arguing that in general, the whole concept that if you cut through most of a pipe, it's considered like cutting through the whole thing. Maybe only Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Huda would hold that and the Chacham would not. And if we learn that way, then we could say that the fact that then you don't have your argument anymore, because your argument is predicated on the idea that as long as most of it was done in a kosher way, even the Chachamim will allow it, but not necessarily. As far as other areas of Roy, as far as other areas in Torah, where we talk about Roy, says Rabbi Yosef, of course I agree the Chachamim would say that Rubber Kekula in other areas of Halacha. Now, so far the discussion was as follows. Again, we started with Rav Huna saying that if he started the Shita in a kosher way and then finished it, the last little bit with Hagrama, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda would allow it and the Chum would not. But if he started with Hagrama, then they would both agree it's possible. Rav Chista is arguing that it should be the other way around. And then we have Rabbi Yosef and Abaye getting involved in the discussion as far as Rabbi Yosef trying to disprove the premise of the proof, and Abaye asking him how does your disproof work? So now the Gemara says Lishna Achrina Amila. There's another version of how this whole discussion went, which has the same Chachamim involved, but in different roles. In the second version, Rav Huna says, in the name of Rav Asi, and by the way, Tosfos points out, you have Rebbe Asi with a Yud, many places in Shas, usually you have Rav Ami and Rav Asi together, they were Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, they were on a lesser level than Rav Huna. The Gemara says in some places that they were subservient to Rav Huna because they recognized him as a greater Talmid Chacham. What we're talking about over here is Rav Asi, who was a chaver of Rav Kahana, and the two of them were kind of tamidim chaverim to Rav. They were close to Rav's level, but a little bit below him. So that Rav Asi, who was a contemporary of Rav and close to his madrega, then Rav Huna learned from him. Anyway, so in the second version, Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Asi, machlokas, the other way around, machlokas shehigrim shlish, the shachat shnei shlish, the machlokas would be where he first did hagrama in one third and then did a proper shlita of two thirds, then, which is the second, which is the possibility. Now, in the first version, that was what Rav Chista had brought up as a possibility. Maybe you should learn that way. Now, in the second version, that is actually what Rav Huna is reporting in the name of Rav Asi. So the machlokas would be then, did Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda sava midi to have a chatzikon apogum? So Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda will say that it's like a case where there's a hole in up to half the windpipe, and that doesn't make the animal tray, and then you continue the shchita over there, and it's fine. But Rabbanan and the Chacham would say that no, it's not the same thing. Chosam makam shchita, hochalav makam shchita. Because the difference is there, you're talking about a hole in the windpipe, which is in the area for valid shchita, and here we're talking about it's in an area above the tabas agdolo, which according to the Chachamim is not a good place for it. Avol. But if he did a proper shlita in two thirds and then had groma in one third, then according to the second version of Huna is saying that everybody would agree it's kosher, because the Mishnah in the next parak says that most of a simon is considered like all of it. So again, this is in the first version we had Rav Chista asking Rav Huna that this is the way you should learn. In the second version, this is actually how Rav Huna is learning. And in the second version, Maskif for Rav Chista questions Rav Huna, Man Lemalon Dahu Ruba Dehosam, Lav Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda Katani Law. So now, in the second version, Rav Chista is asking the question that Rav Yosef asked in the first version. How do you know that Mishnah is according to everybody? Maybe that Mishnah is only according to, how do you know that Mishnah is not specifically according to Rav Yosi Rav Yehuda? Maybe that Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and the Chacham would not hold like it, and hold that you have to cut through the entire simon. And in this version, Amalei Rabbi Yosef, so now in this version, Rabbi Yosef does what Abaya had done in the first version. Also called Rubi de Alma, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda Chatani Lu. Do you think that every time we talk about Roiv is all according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda? Amalei, and Rabbi Chista answers like Rabbi Yosef did in the first version. I'm not Rubi de Shchita Kamina. I'm talking about only as far as Roiv of Shchita, that there we find that Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Shemayin of the Hudu Tzvi, given that we find in our Sylvia, that they're all giving about Roiv and the whole thing, then I would hold that maybe the Mishnah in the next paragraph that says Rubi Shalachot Kamayu is only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. In other areas, I agree, of course, that everybody holds of the concept of Roiv. Okay, so in the second version, you don't have a buyer, it doesn't appear. In the second version, But you have Rav Huna says exactly the opposite of what he did in the first version. Rav Chista questions him in the second version with what Rav Yosef did in the first one, and Rav Yosef answers with what Abaya did in the first version. And it's also the question is what is the bottom line statement in the first version? The bottom line was that Rav Huna is saying that if you started with Hagrama and then finished it off in a kosher way, Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would allow it, but some would not. But if it was mostly proper and then the last bit Hagrama, everybody would agree it's kosher. And in the second version of Huna is saying the other way around. So now the Gemara continues. How about another case? So far we've been talking about where you started in one area and then finished in another area. What if you went back and forth? What about if he did have grama of one third of it, so he started shechting too high up, again, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Chachamim, that would be anywhere above the Tabas HaGdola, according to Rabbi Chanan ben Antignus, which we said before, the Halacha is like him, it would be anywhere above Shikui Koiva. So you started by shechting there, and you shechted through one third at that point. The shachat shlish, then he went downward and shechted in the proper area, and did one third, the higrim shlish, and then he went back up and did hagroma in one third. So now you have two thirds were done. As hagroma, and one, but the middle third was done properly. So now Rav Huna Amar Rav Kshera. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav, but that would be kosher for reasons that we're going to explain in a second, even though the majority of it was not done as a proper shlita. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Treifa. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, it would be Treifa. Why? Rav Huna Amar Rav Kshera, because it's kinafka chayusa b'shchita kanafka. After all, as we said before, what point of the cutting does the animal's chayus leave it? Is when you've cut through just over 50% of the simen has been cut through. Well, fine, at the point of the 50% plus, then you're in a place which is a kosher shchita. Therefore, it should be fine. So now a point is, Rashi makes a point over here that now we're switching. Before, up until now, we were talking about Rav Huna's and Rav Chista's understanding of the Chachamim and Rav Yosef ben Yehuda. Now we'd be switching to that we're talking of Rav Huna's understanding of Rav Chanina ben Antignus. That given that Rav Chanina ben Antignus holds that you could shecht up to the Shipri Koiva, so now, then he would say that even if you went beyond the Shipri Koiva, for most of it, as long as you did the middle of the Shritta, below the Shipri Koiva, then you would be fine. Tosfos says somewhat differently that before Rav Huna was talking in the name of Rav Asi, here he's talking in the name of Rav. Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Trefa. On the other hand, Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, that it reads Trefa, but in a Ruba B'Shritta V'Lekta, because you require the most of the Shritta has to have been done properly, and it wasn't because you only one third of it was done properly. So Rashi brings a different Gusa over here, when the animal's life leaves it. But in a ruba b'shchita, we require that most of it has been done by shchita. But Rashi says that's not a valid gusa, because Rabbi Yehuda would not hold it. Depends on when the animal's chayus leaves it. All we're saying is, because the next case, we're going to have the other way around. We're going to have a case where most of it was done by kashrus and only a little bit of salt. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say it's kosher, so it's not a matter of that it has to be the moment of going out of chayus, it has to be a kosher shritah. It's rather that was saying that Rabbi Yehuda would require that you have to be most of it was a proper shritah. Okay, how about the other way around? Shachat shlish, the Hebrew shlish for shachat shlish. What happens if he does the other way around? One third a proper shritah, one third in the middle hagrama, and then the last bit was done, and then the last third was done properly. So now it's the other way around. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Chayra. Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav that it is kosher, because most of it was done b'kashus. Also, Shailua Rav Huna. So they went and asked Rav Huna what he says the din would be in that case, Omulahu Tshefa. And he says on his own, he doesn't say in the name of Rab like he did in the previous halacha. He was saying on his own svara that it would be Tshefa. So the Ramban gives a whole explanation of what the basis of their argument would be. Rav Huna would say that it depends whether if most of it was done as a kosher shlita, so then a partial hagroma is not going to make a problem. But over here you can't have basically that you have to have you can't combine together two separate parts, the first third and the last third, and call it a majority and say that it's partial. And therefore he would hold that it's partial, whereas Rav Yehuda would hold that it's fine to put them together. The Ramban gives a whole explanation and. The Ritzvah gives a whole explanation, but this is the idea. In other words, according to the Ramban, the vote is if you do the middle of it hagrama, then the shchita was done in a possible way, because again you have the middle of it was possible, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold the fact that doesn't matter. And then the Ritzvah says it's a difference of whether we can combine together two different parts that are in two different parts of the shchita. But he didn't say this in the name of Rab; he just said this as his own svara. So the Gemara says, Shamar Rabbi Yehuda v'ikpa. Shamar Rabbi Yehuda ikpad. Rabbi Yehuda heard about this, and he was upset. Mela, if Rabbi Huna had said differently in the name of Rab, okay, we learned differently, we heard differently, or we understood Rab differently. But if he's saying his own svara, what's going on over here? Tarifna Omar, he says, Tarifna Omachra, Omachshana Tarif, what I hold is treif. In the previous case, he holds is kosher, and what I say is kosher. In the second case, he says it's treif. So what is he like? Doctor, how to go against me? So why is he doing that? Omer Rav Huna. So when Rav Huna heard what Rav Yehuda had said, he says, "You shy to commit, but you know what? Rav Yehuda does have a good reason to be upset, and maybe in fact, he's right after all." First of all, it is true that this case he heard the din from Rab, whereas I'm just saying my own svara. So maybe so what Rab said is certainly outweighs my own svara. But and after all, most of it was done with a proper shlita. So it is logical to say that there might be a logical basis to say that it is kosher. So Rav Huna is saying I'm ready to change my mind and say that it would be kosher in a case like that. In other words, that when you say roiv is fine, it doesn't even have to be the roiv all at once. It can be a roiv made up of a little here and a little there. However, Amalei Rav Chista, however, Rav Chista said to Rabbuna, Loi Teheder, don't change your mind, don't say that just because Rabbi Yehuda is reporting in the name of Rab, therefore, necessarily, that has to outweigh your svara, the inkain, if you're going to say like that, mafsad talo lekamaisa, then you're ruining what you said before, the previous case about higrim, then shochav, then higrim, because, hosam maitana kamachshauta, why are you saying it's kosher in that case, the kinafta chayusa be'achshera kanafta, because the animal's chayus goes out in the kosher place, in the proper place of the simen. In other words, again, when you reach the 50% plus point, then it's at that point you're doing a kosher shita. Hachanami, well, here you would argue the other way around. Kinafka chayus, hagroma kanafka. After all, it's the other way around over here. When you reach the 50% plus point, then at that point it's hagroma, and it would be possible. So therefore, says Rav Chista, consistency requires you to say that if you're going to say it's kosher in the previous case, and that you were quoting in the name of Rav, consistency does require you to say that it would be possible in this case. I didn't hear that from Rav, doesn't matter. You have, says your Chustatan, you have a valid slaughter, because otherwise it would contradict logically what you did say before in the name of Rav. So in other words, basically, the Ritzvah explains, goes on to explain, according to his Shitta, that basically Rav Huna and Rav Chista are arguing on this case. What do we mean? When we say you need Roiv, does it mean Roiv in one place, or is it enough to have Roiv in two different places? Now again, Rashi stresses over here again all of this last discussion that we had over here about Higrim and Shochat or Shen and Higrim Shochat Higrim or Shochat Higrim Shochat, that can't be referring to the Chachamim and Rabbi Yossi, because then here we had before in the middle of the previous Amud, Rav Huna had said in the first version at least that if you give Higrim and then two thirds Shochat to be trace, how much more so if it was only one third? So therefore, so there we were talking about the Chacham and Rav Yossi. Here we're talking about Rav Chanina ben Antignus, and here we're talking about Rav Chanina ben Antignus' opinion, and that's different. He says that you can do in the Shibui Koyva, and the question is then, what if you did some of it above and some of it below, etc. Okay. The Gemara continues, Ikra Rav Nachman Masura. Rav Nachman one time visited Surah, Bo Mine, and they asked him this question, Shochat Shlish v'Higrim Shlish v'Shochat Shlish Mahu. What if he did one third a proper Shchita in a proper area, then one third Hagrama, too high up, v'Shochat Shlish, and then he did the third in the proper place, Mahu, what would be the din? Is the animal kosher or not? So he tells them, instead of going through that whole discussion that we just had, or Huna and Rav Chista and all that, he tells them there's a different basis to say that it should be kosher. Lav hainu, Rav Elazar b'Aman Yumi, wouldn't it be similar to the case of Rav Elazar b'Aman Yumi, the Amar Rav Elazar b'Aman Yumi, shchita aser k'maser sheva, a shchita that's done like a comb is kosher. Namely, in other words, a comb has a bunch of teeth. So here what you have, in other words, is a bunch of nuts.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of cuts, one next to the other, and all of them eventually make up the proper amount of shita. But it would still be kosher. So now, we would assume kamasrit could also include where it's going like up and down, which would be this case of agrum. Not really separate cuts, but in other words, let's say, for example, you started shechting with a nice angle, a little bit upward towards the head, let's say, and then in the middle, you angled downward and you kept on going back and forth like that. So when you finish, you look at the shita, it's a zigzag, the cut across the neck is a zigzag line. So it resembles the teeth of a cone. And Rabbi Elazar b'Aman Yumi says that that's kosher. So, says Rav Nachman, wouldn't it be the same kind of thing over here? When you're doing shochat, higrim shochat, then it's the same kind of thing. You're doing it like a wiggly shape. And apparently it would be kosher. But the Gemara says, why? But Dilma Makam Shchita. Maybe the laws of Aman Yumi would say it's kosher only if he did it in the proper area of the Shchita. So in other words, fine, if you're doing someplace in the middle of the neck, and you started by angling upward, and then you angle downward, and upward, and downward, and so forth, and at the end you have a zigzag pattern on the surface, then that's fine, but maybe that doesn't apply when some of it was outside the proper area. Well, the Gemara says, no, you don't need him for that. The Makam Shchita, Maila Memra. Well, if he did it in the proper area of the Shchita, well, then what's the Chiddush? Of course he'd be allowed to do it, of course that would be allowed. And the answer, therefore, obviously, if Rav Elazar b'Aman Yumi is saying it's kosher, it must mean even when some of those zigzags go into the area which is possible. The Gemara says not necessarily. Mild tamer still, it might mean even within the area that's completely kosher for shitta, but in shitta mefardas, maybe you have to have a clear shitta, maybe you have to have an open up mefardas, means open up and revealed, a revealed shitta, the leka, and here you don't, because it looks like a zigzag pattern, it looks like the ripples on a potato chip, for example. The Mashulam, therefore, of the laws of Rabbi Meir is telling us that that's not a problem. But still, that doesn't mean that he's talking about outside, that any of those zigzags, any of the ripples go outside of the proper area for shita, not necessary.
Yes.
The Gemara goes on with Simon Bakad. The Simon over here is going to be for names of the three Amoraim that are going to come up in the next discussion. So Beis for Rab Abba, the Chofer of Kahana, and the Dalet for Rab Yehuda. Not always in these simonim do we use the first letter of the name. Sometimes we use like the first really significant, the one that has the strongest sounds. So the Gemara says, Yosef Rab Abba Achoyle de Rab Kahana. Rab Abba was sitting behind Rab Kahana. The Yosef Rab Kahana Kamei de Rab, the Rab Yehuda. And Rab Kahana was sitting in front of Rab Yehuda. As we've learned before, the senior Talmidim would sit in front and the junior Talmidim would sit further back. So Rab Kahana was one of the senior Talmidim. Rab Abba is one of the lesser, was one of the junior Talmidim. So therefore he's sitting behind Rab Kahana. The Yosef Akama, now Rab Kahana was sitting and saying cases like this. Asking Rabbi Yehuda one case after another. First of all, shachat shlish v'higum shlish v'shachat shlish mahu. What if he did first a proper shita, then had groma in the middle, and then a proper shita at the end? What would he did? Amalei said Rabbi Yehuda says, "I'm shita sekcheira." That would be kosher, like Rabbi Yehuda's shita on Amar Aleph, which he quoted in the name of Rabbi. Next, Rav Kahana asked him, what about the other way around? Higim shlish, the shachat shlish, the higim shlish mahu. What if he did one third hagrama, one third shita, one third hagrama? What would be the din? Amalei, and Rabbi Yehuda tells him, shita se psula, then it would be possible again, like he said on Amar Aleph. Then Rav Kahana asked another question. Shachat b'makom neter mahu. What would be the din if he shechted where there was already a hole in the windpipe? So what happens, like we were talking about in Amud Aleph, there's a hole in the windpipe, and then you stick in the shechita knife in that particular area, and you continue shechting, and you shech through the rest of the windpipe. Would that be kosher? Amalai said, Rabbi Yehuda tells him, shechita sekcheira. That would be a kosher shechita, because like you said before, that's fine as long as you have, when you reach the 50% plus mark, you're doing a valid shechita, and that's how it is over here. The fact that there was a hole in there, we ignore that. Next, Rav Kahana asked him another question. Shachat the poga by nekev mahu. What about the other way around? What happens if you shecht it from an intact side of the windpipe, and then as you're cutting through, you reach an area where there's a hole over there? Now, what would it be? Amalei said, Rav Kahana tells him shechita sepsula. In that case, the shechita would be possible for reasons that we're going to explain soon. So that was a discussion that was going on where Rav Kahana asked all these questions to Rav Yehuda, and Rav Abba was sitting behind Rav Kahana and listening to all these questions and answers. Also, Rav Abba omra tamed Rav Elazar. Later on, Rav Abba went and told over Rav Yehuda's answers to Rav Elazar. Also, Rav Elazar omra tamed Rav Yehuda. And Rav Elazar in turn went and reported them to Rav Yehuda. On one day, Rav Yehuda says, something seems to be wrong over here. Maishna, what's the difference between... In the last two cases, you're telling me if you started in an area with a hole, then the shechita will be kosher. But if you ended in an area with a hole, then it'll be possible. What's the difference, says Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda. Omalei, so Rabbi Elazar says, I'll explain the difference. Shechat b'makom neked nasa k'misha shechat oved k'chavim, b'gama Yisrael. When you shechted in a place where there was already a hole, it's the equivalent. Imagine, for example, that a goy shechted through less than half of the windpipe. Where we learned earlier in the perek, the Gemara had discussed it, that a goy is possible to shecht. And then if Yisrael finished the shechita, then it would be kosher, because again, the point where you reach the 50% plus, which is where the chayus of the animal leaves it, that part is being done by a yid. And again, the fact that the goy had started the shechita, that doesn't matter no more than it would matter in general if you have a hole over there, and we said a hole of up to half the size of the windpipe does not pass all the animal. But shachar, pogah by nekev. But if you shechted and then you came to a hole, nasa kamisha shachat yisrael v'gama over the covenant. Now it's the other way around. It's the equivalent of a yisrael beginning the shechita and a goy finishing it, and that'll be possible because the yid had not done enough to do a shechita. So in other words, what's going to happen? You have that there was a hole over there, and you shechted and then you encountered the hole. So it comes out you didn't do enough shechita for it to be a kosher shechita. That would be the logic why to say that in that case it would be possible. Well, Rav Yochanan didn't like that answer. Kori alei, ov kechavim, ov kechavim. So he said on him, like in a mocking voice, ov kechavim, ov kechavim. Really, really, ov kechavim itself as a change of the censor. The original word would have been nochri or goy or something like that. But whatever, nochri, nochri, goy, goy. Like in other words, whatever I'm going to ask you, you're going to answer that it has to do with a goy shechting. No matter how many times you're going to say the word goy, you're going to say the word ov kechavim, it's not going to be a valid answer. But in fact, it's not really a valid distinction that you're making. And Omar Rava, in fact, Rava says, Rabbi Yochanan is right. Shapa Korah Le'ev Kisavim, Le'ev Kisavim. Rabbi Yochanan has very good reason to put down this answer and say that's not a valid distinction. In the case where he still sorted the shritta and did less than half of it, and he didn't do the prior, he did just half and not more than that, he should have shechted most of it, and he didn't. So it comes out that he didn't accomplish anything. When the animal's chayus leaves it, when you reach the 50% plus, at that point there's a goy doing it, and it's going to be possible. So because it's considered, in effect, he did the whole shritta. But over here, you're not talking about a goy being involved. You're talking about a whole. Mechi mishchat shachet. He shechted whatever he could. He shechted over 50% of the tana and removed the animal's chayus. Mali, b'makom nekev, mali kogamai nekev. Who cares whether there's a hole there to begin with or whether there's a hole there after the fact? There's no reason. Just make a distinction between that and, in fact, says Rava, and explaining Rabbi Yochanan's shita, that, in fact, there should be no difference. There should be no difference, and it should be kosher in either. It should be kosher in either of those cases, and that is in fact halacha. It doesn't matter if there was a hole there, and you shechted continuing the hole, or whether you shechted and then encountered a hole. As long as the hole was to begin with less than half the windpipe, then it will be kosher. So not like Rabbi Horda had said to the Kahana, but rather like and not like Rabbi Lozer had explained to Rabbi Yochanan, but rather like Rabbi Yochanan himself puts down that answer, and like Rava explains, there's no reason to draw a distinction between the two cases. Yeah. So it's